Welcome to the Maintenance Mavericks podcast, where we talk about trends in maintenance, reliability, and asset operations. My name is Ryan. I'm the CEO and founder of Upkeep, which is an asset operations management platform. For today's guest, I'm super excited to welcome back here on the show, Ramesh Gulati. Ramesh is the reliability Sherpa, the one, the only, and is also one of our recurring guests. It's always a blast having you on the show. Welcome back, Ramesh. How's your day going?
Thanks, Ryan. Boy, I'm looking forward for this day always every month so we can chit-chat what's happening in the world and how it's going to impact us. And, you know, one thing I've noticed, you especially bring a lot of good points, these questions, and, you know, those are current issues. How are we going to face them? So that's what I really like about this is we're going to talk about the current issues and how they're going to, you know, create those challenges for us. How are we going to take care of those? You know, that's good.
Absolutely. Well, here's where I can commit to, Ramesh, is I can commit to great questions, but I need your help with some great insight, which is ultimately what you provide every single month. I definitely couldn't provide the good insights.
To me, this is also a learning lesson for me too. You know, so that's what I learned from this. You know, just our talk, you know. So,
you know, here's something going on right now in our industry. Everything from, you know, COVID to, you know, the war in Ukraine, we were just talking about that, to just, you know, everything impacting our supply chain. And I was reading a New York Times article earlier this week that was talking about warehouses and distribution centers and how there's this growing demand for space. Space for raw materials, space for product, space to just hold things until we can get a finished product so that we can ultimately ship to customers. But what we're hearing is that there's little to zero space available. So I kind of want to get your thoughts. You know, what's going on right now? How does this affect our industry? And ultimately, how does it affect, you know, maintenance, reliability, operations, you know, today, tomorrow, and over the next couple of years?
This space problem or supply chain problem is causing, it's been started 2 years ago when COVID started. And because what has happened is, as we know, that we have to stop making, we have to close our plants because due to COVID, as a result, we couldn't get the supply. And then people also couldn't come there. So that created a problem. And then slowly we are coming back, but our warehouses were full, and now they're empty, and their supplies are coming in batches to speak. So people also, our suppliers are keeping supply in such a way so they can, you cannot call it a holding, but people have started holding it also a little bit more, you know, than what they need. And that's causing a big problem in our system. And we don't have any space left because they have to store some material somewhere extra to speak, some places, you know, so that is causing a problem. Because we, over the last, if you look last 20, 30 years, we have gone from we used to have a batch operation in our plants. Now we are in just-in-time kind of operation. We just bring it and use it, and then more supplies are coming. We have got used to that. Now we have to store some of that stuff. That's the reason we don't have a space for this. You know, just-in-time is great concept. It reduces our cost and keep our turnover, our products sooner and faster. But hey, if you got a supply problem, you have to keep in store. And we don't have space in our plants and factories even. You know, we are just bringing a little bit and using it. Like other day, I know it happened. We have a plant nearby, auto plant Nissan. And if the truck who brings the chairs gets stuck on the highway, boy, that causes problem in the plant because they have to go later and put those seats in the car because they have to take those from out of the line and all this costs a lot of money. So all these things are causing a big problem for us, you know, in our stores. And they are trying to build store, but you cannot get the steel to build the more store because that's, again, supply chain problem. So all these things are happening. And, you know, it's a, also think about ourselves. I think of myself. I like to do my shopping, go to visit a store, you know, brick and mortar store, because I like to check them out. But all the young people, everyone is doing online shopping. Now, online shopping, there's a 30, 40% more online shopping being done last 2-3 years. So that's, people have to store that in a warehouse somewhere instead of, you know, in the stores. So that's, it's causing, again, a domino effect. We have to learn from this big lesson. Hey, there are going to be unexpected events like this disruption in our supply system. And we have to used to it or learn from this, how we can tackle this, you know. And there are a lot of challenges there. And as I said, just in time kind of philosophy is great, but sometime you cannot do that, you know. So I think that's the stage we are. So we have to start looking how we can learn from this, so we have some storage capacity in a warehouses or someplace, because there's going to happen something, you know, some earthquake comes or natural calamity happens or those kind of things going to happen. So we have to do a lot of learning from this, you know, that's what I can say.
I mean, it's so interesting, right? Like, to your point, we created this domino effect. And if I were to summarize what I just heard, it's like, we were just-in-time manufacturing. You didn't need a lot of space because everything was coming in every single day.
Yeah.
Now, because of COVID, it's gotten us into this like hoarding mentality.
That's not.
And so we are, you know, purchasing a lot of raw materials so that we have redundancy in the case that there's the next pandemic, God forbid it actually happens. But what also is happening, there's all these supply chain issues going on, from, you know, the lingering effects of COVID to the war out in Ukraine, which is putting like a decrease in supply coupled with this increase in demand, coupled with this insane amounts of money that the government has poured into the economy. It's creating all of this inflation.
That's right. Yep.
And we're at where we're at right now. Low supply, extremely high demand, inflation driven by, you know, just an insane amount of money pumped into the economy.
I order a Windows replacement in January, end of January. I was told, wait for 6-8 weeks. It's only 3 months. They say it's going to be another month. And it's all supply chain problem. Say they cannot get the raw material. The material is not coming, you know, all kind of issues. So, hey, so I think we have to learn from this. Hey, we have to consciously, hey, yes, there is some problem. And let's look at our maintenance needs, what we need, and try to get them in unexpected. Hey, there's, if there's a lead time or certain things, let's plan for those things, you know, so that we can get in right time, you know. So.
Is this whole like domino effect going to fall at some point? This is a very difficult question to answer. If you could predict the future, like, we'd all be, you know, millionaires, billionaires. but yeah, I mean, are the domino cards going to fall? Because, you know, at some point it becomes unsustainable. Like, we are in this hoarding aspect because we know that, you know, we're going to order way more than we actually need because there's a 6 months, you know, lead time. What's going to happen, Ramesh?
Well, hey, I was reading something in all newspapers, and I think they're predicting or estimating that this is going to last another maybe end of 2023. You know, so a year and a half from now, 2 years kind of way, and then things started getting better and better. I think it's going to get normalized. I mean, people with the now mandates for the, you know, for masking has gone, people have started traveling, and they start working the plant area or factories. I think things are going to go better, but it's not going to happen overnight. That mentality is going to, you know, it's changed slowly. We have to change our habits also. Our habits have changed. So that, you know, it's going to take a while to go back to our old original things. And it's going to take another year and a half to go back to our old ways, you know, maybe, maybe not.
No. I personally have a prediction here, Ramesh. Like, I do think that there is going to be some, you know, sort of domino cards falling over the next 18 months. Like, I think we're starting to see the effects of it in later stage tech. You know, we've seen like technology companies come down from their all-time highs of about 6 months ago. They've come crashing down to 50% of their all-time high values. Mm. But what we've also seen is like the very robust physical products, manufacturing, oil, gas, like these companies have more or less like held their ground on the public markets. I hope that trend continues. And I think that, the trend of like, you know, the physical, you know, goods sector maintaining its value, I hope that trend continues.
I think so. I think, as you said, technologies are, stocks are going down, or at least leveling off. They went too high, now leveling off. And our products, you know, manufacturing, which manufacture our stuff, are going, is stable. And I think that's going to be, you know, as supply chain gets better, they're going to be, again, doing much, much better. That's what indications are. You know, hopefully that will happen.
So obviously, as a result of, you know, some of these big supply chain issues, it is a fact here. One of the biggest companies that are, you know, reliant on our supply chain is obviously Amazon. Amazon plays a huge role in the infrastructure and, you know, supply chain here in the U.S. They've actually committed to a $1 billion fund to fund and back companies of all stages that, you know, can help tackle this, you know, supply chain fulfillment, logistics, technology. It's a lot of money getting poured into a very big problem. Notably, like, it does help them. Would love to ask you, like, what do you think is going to come out of this? Like, what are some of the innovative solutions that you think might be developed out of this $1 billion fund?
You know, as you said, they have, you know, kind of put $1 billion called Amazon Industrial Innovation Fund, AIIF, kind of, they are allocated or they are working on it. I think what's going to come out of that, or they're going to spend mostly, I think what I hear from what I read is mostly on wearable safety kind of thing, and mostly on they have done a lot of work in automation, robotics, and those kind. They're going to continue that, but I think more, you know, they are going to do a lot more on, I call it scanning, or the better cameras, maybe, you know, when things are, these boxes are passing through fast, they're going to recognize what those are. So those going to be get better and better. So machine recognition, or some of those kind of come out, some more safety. So people who are working in the Amazon warehouses, they are much more safer. So wearable safety kind of thing, they're going to come out. You know, that reminds me back in 60s and 70s when NASA, you know, when the U.S. went on a program to go to moon, and U.S. spent a lot of billions of dollars going to moon. And it took us every 10, 20 years to all those product research they did. You know, think about Velcro. You know, came out of that, and many other innovation came. It took many years to come to industry, but this time, because our industry is doing, Amazon is doing it, so the outcome, whatever comes out, is going to come to everyone pretty fast, you know. So I think, maybe in the next 2 to 5 years, 10 years, we'll have a lot of new technology will come out of this $1 billion investment in Amazon, and there will be some more. I think government spending will be also increase some of the research in this area, what they can do. So I think it's going to be a lot more, again, it's going to be more technology-based research. You know, what this new technology can bring more safer and more operational efficiency in our systems. That's what's going to come out of that. You know, they say Amazon is spending to get day better. So it's not going to be overall, everybody's going to get money. You know, hey, they're going to spend very wisely, You know, where they can benefit them, you know, so in the warehouse, in the, so they can deliver the product quickly to their consumer. That's what they're looking. And they're going to look also maybe, hey, right now their trucky EV is going to, electric vehicle is going to come in the picture, how they can, you know maybe there'll be a supplier. I mean, they are doing it now with using your drones supply to the, you know, the directly to the consumer. You know, some of those technology may come out too. And some of those are pizzas and few things are being delivered now on a testing purposes. You know, where pizza places are using drones to supply, you know, those are being tested now. So some of those things may come out more, you know, but again, hey, that's, drone has to be regulated because otherwise all are going to fly and hit each other. So I don't know how they're going to do, but I think some of those things will be coming out. How soon we can do those, you know?
I know. I'm pretty excited about that. I haven't yet gotten any pizza deliveries through a drone yet, but maybe in the upcoming years. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
That's right. Yeah. I think I saw somewhere they're testing the pizza deliveries, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, make sure that it doesn't get delivered to the wrong house.
That's right.
Or
that's
slightly right. Off, it might land on the roof.
That's right.
All right. Well, Ramesh, you know, obviously you and I kind of talked a little bit about like the warehouse distribution, mm-hmm. supply chain issues. We talked about like future innovation, technology, Amazon's $1 billion fund to help support, you know, the supply chain. I want to ask the question, how does all this impact the maintenance reliability operations, you know, okay. industry?
All right. Okay. So what's happening is we got supply chain problem. You know, we have most of maintenance reliability has a small storerooms. We keep our stuff there, you know. So we have to somehow start looking into how we can optimize our storerooms, you know, because keeping something in the store cost money, not just the cost of that product or item, plus we have to keep that room, storeroom, you know, environmentally correct. We have to heat it, cool it, we have to have somebody there. So there is a cost of that, 20 to 25% cost. If an item is $100, it costs us yearly $20, $25 to keep that stuff there, you know, plus the interest and all those kind of things. And so we have to see what really we need. So we have to optimize our need first. Hey, what really we need, you know, and then we have to looking into our delivery time and lead time, we have to adjust those now, you know, so how much, so what we need to be keeping. So we may have to do some kind of a FMEA or analysis of our process. Hey, what parts we need, when we need it, you know, is that critical, you know, all those kind of things. We have to look the whole process, what we are storing, do we need to store it or not to store it, or when we can need to get that one. Okay, so I have managed storerooms in the past, and financial people look main storeroom from different way. They try to compare that with a production store, you know, which is a turnover is much higher. Our maintenance storerooms are, we have items we store there, which are not used for maybe 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years, because we want to keep, there's a big item, critical item. If that's not available, we'll be down for months. We cannot afford that. So there are items which may not be used for a few years, and those financial guy, boy, they look, they say, oh my God, why you're keeping it? And literally one time we got rid of some of stuff because there was so much pressure on us. And then 2 months later, we had a failure. We needed that part, and we had to pay premium 3 times or 4 times more to get that part back from this guy, you know? So I think we have to be careful there. We do not want to really get rid of everything. Be conscious, you know, what we do, get rid of it. But we have to do it. You know, there's no other chance.
This is honestly one of the most interesting times for you know, inventory teams, storeroom teams, procurement teams, because we're dealing with this, you know, transition from just in time to now creating more redundancy and wanting to pay, you know, a little bit extra to keep more, you know, more on hand, more inventory on hand in the case of, you know, global crises around the world, which, you know, we may not have any influence over. Yep. But then there's this question to your point, Ramesh, where, you know, as we hoard and as we create redundancy, it's not just the cost of the part and having it in your storeroom, but there is actual cost to just letting it sit there every single
year. That's right.
There's a cost of time, value of money. There's a cost to manage it. There's a physical, like, you know, storage cost, land cost to it. And things are changing so much, so quickly, that in ways that we haven't really seen this dramatic of a shift over the last, say, many decades.
And also storing, we have to start looking, you know, heating and cooling of that space, how we can do an energy efficient process. That's another thing we have not talked. We have another issue is energy, you know, energy problem. You know, we may not have it here, but other places right now, they got it in Europe, you know, due to this Ukraine war. So we have to be a more energy efficient. So I've gone through that back in '70s. I know that. And that time we have to change our process to make our, that time I was working in a forging area and we used a lot of gas furnaces. We had to convert our gas furnace to oil with gas, natural gas, and propane. All three systems we had it, you know, but we also did was making our furnaces much more efficient using recuperators, so we can use the flue gas to reheat our air coming in, going to the furnaces, all those kind of things we have to do. So I think we have to start looking also what process we are using, heating and cooling, HVAC system in our warehouses or other places, so we are much more energy efficient also, because energy is going to, it's costing, but also from sustainability point of view, we have to start looking into that too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother topic. go pretty deep on, Ramesh. I just want to say thank you again for taking all the time and sharing all of your insights and, you know, thoughts around, you know, what's currently going on, supply chain, warehouses, storage. If I were to ask you the question, what's one of the biggest takeaways that you hope all of our listeners are going to take away from today's discussion? What would you say that is?
Expect unexpected, like this happened, and learn from that, you know, what we have to do. Like in this case, think about lead time. We have to make adjustment to our lead time of our parts, you know, readjust that. And then after a while, when things get normal, go back to, you know, don't stay that one, you know, think about that, you know. So, and then think about energy cost also is going to be really, and maybe we have to start investing in energy efficiency investment there, you know, so those kind of things. Learn from this, do what is the necessary, and me, and I, when I teach my courses, I taught them, always think about, you know, there should be PM on a PM. Because if we do a PM, that may be good for another 6 months or 1 year, 2 years. Yeah. Go back and rework, reevaluate that PM, what you have done. Is that make sense now? Because new technology has come. Same thing. We should be relooking, you know, making a living program. You know, whatever we do, we have to adjust for our current environment all the time, you know. So don't take it, because I have seen some preventive maintenance PMs, which we did 10 years ago, and we're still doing the same thing. Yeah. Hey, go back, relook, you know. So there should be a PM on this PM.
I totally agree. You know, I think that there's two things that this brings up. One is like talking to another one of my friends in the industry, and they were basically saying the best way to make your team more efficient is actually reduce the number of PMs. and that it's actually quite shocking to hear that. But what he was saying is that oftentimes you have these PMs that were started about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. And, you know, half the time the equipment doesn't even last, is not even there anymore for the reason why they created that PM. But people get scared to remove PMs because you're never going to get fired by, you know, doing status quo, but you might get fired for, you know, removing a PM that you should have. But it is this, like, you know, difficult thing to do, but also so incredibly important.
You know, that's the reason I said there should be a PM on a PM to review it. That means review it every 2 years, 1 year or 2 years. 1 year is too early. 2 years. Hey, what is that PM is effective or not effective? You know, is that parts which I need is there? Do I need it or not need it? Change that frequency or whatever you need to do. So make a living program to speak, you know, looking into your PMs or meters overall, or looking your spare parts, make a living, go back. You know, at, especially in the government type organizations, there's a tendency not to remove, to add or keep adding things, which makes very difficult. As you said, hey, it's very difficult to do that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the second thing that this whole conversation brings up for me is, and I think, you know, us being the maintenance reliability operations, you know, department, we're so good at creating these FMEAs on our equipment and all the different ways that our assets can fail. But I think oftentimes we also forget how our process can fail.
That's
right. And it's almost like doing FMEAs, not on the asset itself, but on process.
The process. Yep.
Yeah. Because if you don't have, you know, the right part on hand, because of a supply chain issue, it doesn't matter, you know, whether you know the root cause and all the different ways that it can fail. So, you know, to your point, it's like, you know, not just doing a PM on top of a PM, but, like, you know, running FMEAs on not just, you know, the asset itself, but also the process.
So we have to find what's a activities, whether in the process or maintenance, whatever is adding value or not. Which we had to do, you know, value stream mapping. You know, somehow we had to look our process and get rid of those activities which are not adding any value.
All right. So as usual, Ramesh, always, always, always learn a ton from you. For all of our listeners, how can they follow you on your journey and connect with you?
Well, they can connect me at ramesh.gulati@reliabilityx or ramesh.gulati@hotmail.com. And also, I'm a little bit active on LinkedIn. Once or twice a week, I go there. So they can call me or put a question there, so I'll try to answer that.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Ramesh, for joining us. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to today's episode of the Maintenance Mavericks podcast. Again, my name is Ryan. I'm the CEO and founder of Upkeep. You can connect with me. I'm very active on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Or you can give me a message, an email, at ryan@upkeep.com. I hope everyone enjoyed today's episode, and I look forward to connecting with all of you soon. Thanks again, Ramesh. Until next time.
Thank you, Ryan.